Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. In our final segment of the show today, it's a real pleasure to introduce Marcy Alstott from California, actually a longtime friend and, in fact, one of my college roommates. How are you today, Marcy?
I'm doing great, Zara. Great to talk with you.
Yes, always. Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm so proud to introduce Marcy in her current venue, where she is vice president of laser jet business at Hewlett-Packard, heading up their operations section. A brief introduction that really her background is very rich and broad, with an engineering background as well as an MBA. She's very ensconced in product and technology expertise, multinational management credentials, and extensive organizational transformation know-how. That's code for the fact that, like me, she's a member of the lunatic fringe of change agents, we would say, right?
Amen to that.
You got it. Before Marcy actually returned to Hewlett-Packard, and that's the story we're going to talk about, she was formerly vice president of operations at Sun Microsystems, a provider of mission-critical software systems. Also, she worked for years at Adept Technology, a factory automation company producing precision vision and motion sensing robotics, and then even earlier in her career, tested and launched new products into the marketplace through increasing responsibility at Hewlett-Packard, Chipcom, and 3Com. As I mentioned, she's a graduate of Purdue University as well as an MBA from Santa Clara University. She frequently speaks at professional venues and participates on several university boards, and she and her husband, Ted, live in California's Bay Area with three adult children. So you're back again at Hewlett-Packard. Tell us the story.
Sure. Yeah, I returned to HP about a year ago, which has been a great ride. Started out my career at HP and was inspired then by the company, and back again at HP, and am inspired now. A very, very different place from where it was when I first was there, but similarly exciting and never a dull moment at the company, which I thoroughly enjoy.
But, you know, I remember the day, Marcy, back years ago when we had both of us had the opportunity to step out, and the traditional thing back then was indeed to leverage your engineering degree and go into larger organizations. Of course, you flew the coop from the Midwest and went to high technology. What drew you to do that at that point in time?
Well, a good question. I was, you know, thoroughly enjoying my time in the Midwest. And as you know, I co-opted with General Motors, similar to what you did, Zara. But my desire was to explore new horizons. Mm-hmm. And the call of the West was something I could hardly ignore. So I did interview with HP, and the incredible difference between the Midwest company culture and what was going on in California was so different and so attractive to me that I made the bold move to move across the country and start a career with HP and high technology.
Well, and I think for listeners who wouldn't have known to do the math, what Marcy and I are talking about is that was really in the early 80s when things were just starting on those rapid curves of expansion. And I also recall, you know, your role with HP heavily getting that opportunity to test the waters from the manufacturing side and operations as opposed to traditional design, if I recall.
That's right. And back then, HP built everything. So mm-hmm. we built our own transformers. We wound transformers. We did plastic molding of keycaps. We had sheet metal shops and welding shops. And I got to participate and manage and participate in an engineering role, a number of different roles in all of that. Since then, of course, HP and most technology companies have outsourced a lot of that, but starting out early in my career, it was a great joy to be part of that true manufacturing process.
You know, the decision you made then, after how many years was it that you stepped from HP and then went to a small company world?
Right. I was at HP for 15 years, and back then I thought that was a heck of a long time. Right now it doesn't feel like it was quite as long, but at that point in my career, I felt like if I was going to leave the mothership, it was time to try it then, and if I waited too much longer, I might not have the nerve, and people might not think I had the chutzpah. So I took the leap after those 15 years and joined a small company in networking, and that was a really great move for me. It was a risky move, but a great move. I don't regret it at all.
The other piece of that story, in fact, I recall you and I talked about this, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now, it feels like, was this idea you went from one cluster of high technology, which was on the West Coast, and went then to the East Coast cluster of company technologies, Route 128 there in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was calling you my bi-coastal friend that had done both of the clusters, but that they were so dramatically different in terms of how people operated, engaged, networked, and so on, weren't they?
Absolutely. Even different language was used. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun opportunity to take really the same kind of job and business, but then into a different culture and try to translate. And I didn't flee to Europe, but I did. I had the opportunity to speak Boston, and I got a great kick out of figuring out how to maneuver in kind of a different hierarchy and different value set, maybe a bit more conservative, but still very interested in intellectual property and pursuing change and driving new ideas. So even though it was a different culture, it had a kind of a different recipe for getting that successful technology work going. And trying to figure out the lay of the land was actually quite a bit of fun.
You then, I recall, a whole variety of factors were pulling you back to the West Coast. And I remember when you and I were talking, you were assessing different options back there, and yet how many people you reconnected with that you had known from your prior stints on the West Coast, but then at the same time, you started bouncing back into people that you knew on the East Coast. So in other words, the whole high technology, particularly computer-based business, there's such a common network and connectivity, isn't there, Marcy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Never say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's been actually a wonderful career in that way because there are so many connections. I think, it's not five points removed. It's 2.5 points removed
right. Something
when you're in the technology business. And it has been all about connecting with people and staying connected and maneuvering through either suppliers or partners or companies as I've gone through my career.
You bet. You know, there's another part of this story, though, and this is what kind of plays back to my cute introduction here about you and I being on the lunatic fringe of leading change, is that you tend to gravitate towards those challenging positions, many of which, of course, no one else would be crazy enough to accept. But you jump at them, recoveries, big turnarounds, big ideas. Doesn't it take years off your life sometimes?
I think without that, I would live a shorter life. I think about what I gravitate toward. There's a pattern, and that pattern is that my learning curve has to be steep. So when I think about what thrills me, it's change, it's using my creativity, my imagination, figuring out how to make things work better, faster, smarter, and that's what turns me on. And when I'm not able to do that, when I'm in a steady state situation, I actually think I probably age faster. So while it is a lunatic fringe, I guess it's the kind of person I am, and it took a little while to figure that out about myself. But now that I know it, I recognize the pattern of boredom when it starts to happen, and I can quickly look for a new adventure.
Oh, I'm the same way. You start there, and you say, "I know I've seen this tape before." I think the other frame
I know
that you
the ending.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go again. We're playing again. I think the other phrase that you and I coined together, though, was this idea that leading change changes leaders, and that it isn't always pretty, right? It's tough, it's messy, but going through the process, you know, I recall you having saying so profoundly that you knew you were becoming a better leader through that difficult process of changing while leading change.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're in a role that really doesn't challenge you, you're not likely to change yourself much. But I think if you're faced with new problems, new challenges, even hard things that you fail at, and frankly, I think failure is one of the best ways to learn, you tend to grow. And that's, I think, what has made me a better leader over time. I can, you know, more quickly see the problem before it is evident to everybody else. That's a big advantage. I can catch myself maybe circling in the, on the wrong, you know, drain, going down the drain, and
that's
I can
right,
catch
yeah.
that more quickly and pick myself up and reframe and reconsider. And that's a skill. I mean, it's not something that, you know, someone's innately able to do. So I think that that to me is how you change as a leader, and being in a circumstance where you're faced with challenges and you're making a difference in an organization is where you're going to be sharpening your own skills.
Well, I mentioned at the introduction that currently you're Vice President of Operations for the LaserJet business. I don't want to get too far along in our show without you explaining what are you doing in that role these days.
Well, HP's LaserJet printer business is about a $12 billion business for the company. We partner heavily with Canon, a big relationship that's requires a lot of nurturing. We have a fairly complex supply chain that involves that partnership and some other suppliers. And we have a very fast-growing, lively business, not only adding, you know, hardware capabilities and broadening our portfolio of hardware products, but adding on software and services that make our product line competitive and attractive to our customers. So a fairly complex, exciting product line that I think puts us in a very interesting position, of course, makes the operations job a ton of fun.
And a lot of frequent flyer miles, I believe, with the amount of time you're globetrotting. I'm astounded we even caught you in California. Tell our listeners some of the areas you're currently frequenting, Marcy.
Well, obviously, our supply chain is international, so we have partners that we work with in Europe and in Asia and in the U.S. and in South America and Mexico. So we're really, you know, working everywhere to get the best bang for our buck, so to speak, and simplifying it a bit. You know, the idea is to look for the total, you know, total cost of ownership envelope and try to minimize our costs and maximize our customer satisfaction. So that puts us in a lot of places in the world. In some cases, it makes sense to do final integration close to the customer. In some cases, it makes sense to do manufacturing in a very low-cost region. So obviously, that covers a lot of territory.
It sure does. Was this complexity of the business and the line and the criticality of the supply chain, was that one of the attractive features that pulled you to circle back here to HP after being away for so many years?
Absolutely. You know, that the job itself was really attractive, and obviously I took the company itself into account. The great thing about HP is it kind of remakes itself on a regular basis. So maybe it's, you know, it's a macro example of change creating good leaders and changing leaders over time. HP has gone through a lot of transition and I think has become stronger over the years. You know, it's one of the few original Bay Area high-tech companies that have that has thrived over the years. And it's just, you know, it's really a pleasure to see how we've been reborn several times.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's fun to be part of that. Even though, you know, coming back, there's a lot of differences. There's still that thread at HP of the values, you know, the respect for the individual, the value of innovation and creativity. That is all still there at the root of the company, which is why I joined HP to begin with.
Did you feel like it really was a trip back in time for you? This feeling of youthful exuberance, the I remember when. And in fact, have you encountered people in the hallway that you worked with years before?
I've hugged a few folks.
Oh, my goodness.
Past. Absolutely, yeah. It's a really different place, obviously. Compact merger, EDS merger. So there's been a lot of change in the company. You know, we've even spun off companies, since I left the first time. But yeah, there are certainly some people who are still there. And like I say, there are values, back in the Hewlett and Packard garage where the whole thing began, there are, you know, references to those early days. And I still identify with that. I guess I'm a softie.
That's right. You're a softie. I like that. Well, one thing I mentioned in my opening remarks about you, Marcy, of course, is that you and your husband, Ted, have raised three children that are now adults and doing their own things. And to maintain a career that's been bi-coastal and globetrotting and the like, I'm sure some of our listeners are saying, you know, so are you really the maven of work-life balance to still be chipper, smart, smiling, and, you know, having extended phone calls with colleagues? So work-life balance.
there is in my life, I guess, no such thing as perfect balance. And I think I resonate with the description that there's no balance at any one time, but over a period of time, you balance your life. So maybe there are periods of time where you're on the road and focused on work, and then there are other times when you're focused on family and taking time to relax. So recharging is critical to me when I'm involved in work. Sometimes I can't, I can't be distracted for anything. So that has worked for me over the years. But, it's not perfect. You do have to make sacrifices. And I have a great family with lots of support. My husband's always been incredibly supportive of my career, and we've partnered, I think, well together to create a balance that works. So, I'm just grateful and blessed in that
That's
way.
Right. Well, the technology fields continue to oscillate and expand and shift and change. I mean, just the word technology, can invoke so many different things now. In fact, you even mentioned the fact that your product line isn't just the software, obviously, but it's the hardware. It's also the software, but then also the whole technology around service and the influence of the internet. So share some of your words of advice to new graduates that might be pursuing going to college in the technology area or have graduated and now are pursuing their careers or those first steps in their careers, Marcy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do, as you mentioned when you introduced me, I gravitate toward education and have been involved in a number of universities since leaving the university myself. I just have a real passion for that process of education, which, in my opinion, does not stop. And that's the message I would deliver to those young graduates or people considering a technology field. Whatever you major in, if it's engineering is a great field, you will not stop learning after you leave the school that you're in. You can't. And frankly, if you do, you will become obsolete pretty quickly. So, the great thing about a technology career is that you're really always on the cutting edge of something, whether it's software, hardware, design, manufacturing, marketing, whatever you're involved in. It's an ever-changing world, and you can't you can't rest on your laurels. You have to be willing to learn new things. And again, I love doing that. That's what I've always enjoyed is learning. So if you're that way, my advice would be, pick technology, take a look at that, and you will not be bored.
Well, earlier in the show we spent some time talking about multi-generations in the workforce. So I can't imagine any place that's more resonating with that and the journey you've taken to know that Silicon Valley was so fueled by youth, you know, 25 years ago when you started there. And here you've wrapped around again, and I suspect that same energy, creativity, and, you know, knocking ideas around with such a multi-generational workforce is mm-hmm. obviously still fueling the HP business.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the great thing is that when you're involved in that, you know, it does feel a bit ageless. I mean, mm-hmm. there are input, there's ideas coming from all directions. If you're involved in that, I mean, to me, it makes me feel young again to have that kind of input from the younger generations who have come through the educational system with a different perspective and different technologies available to them.
So tell me what's next for you personally, Marcy.
Well, I'm looking for growth, and again, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't require bi-coastal moves. It doesn't require a new company, but it does require new opportunity and new challenge. So, I suspect that in the job I'm in, I'll have that for quite some time. There's quite a bit to contribute, and I see that as a big part, you know, of my life would be the job I have. The other thing I think, though, that I'd like to be doing going forward is, you know, doing as much as I can to influence that next generation.
Yes,
so it certainly is part of my job now to influence those who are coming after me, and both into the workforce and into the educational system. So hopefully I can invest some of my time in that way.
Well, sign me up as a student any day, my friend. Thank you to Marcy Allstadt from Hewlett-Packard based in California. When we can catch her and she's not globetrotting, she's vice president of operations for their LaserJet printer organization. Marcy, thanks so much and congratulations on your ongoing success and indeed the role modeling you're doing for others.
Well, thanks. It was great talking with you.
You bet, as always. Bye-bye. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.
Bye. Bye-bye. Take care.